Assembly Republicans are rejecting Governor Tony Evers' plan to cut property taxes, saying he needs to undo his 400-year veto before the two sides can talk. It's Wednesday, January 14th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, the State Assembly has passed a bill that would make grooming a felony in Wisconsin. And Microsoft's president says he's open to statewide bills that would regulate data centers in Wisconsin. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
Legislative Republicans are pointing fingers over rising property taxes after Governor Tony Evers proposed more than $1 billion in relief. Anya Van Wagtendonk has more.
Evers asked for $1.3 billion to go towards freezing local property tax increases, expanding credits for veterans, and reducing school levies. Republicans rejected that proposal last year when Evers included it in his budget. This time around, they still won't budge. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says any negotiations on property taxes would have to include a conversation about Evers' so-called 400-year veto.
Well, it has to be part of the discussion.
That veto increased local revenue limits, which opened the door to local school boards to raise property taxes. Evers has said that communities have voted to increase school funding using local referendums for years. He said the solution is for the state to adequately fund K-12 schools. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Assembly lawmakers have advanced legislation that would define and criminalize grooming. As written in the bill, it's when an adult engages in a pattern of behavior meant to entice a child into sexual conduct or activity. Representative Amanda Nadusky, a Republican of Pleasant Prairie, co-authored the bill. She said that explicitly defining grooming as a felony will make it easier to hold predators accountable.
Wisconsin's children deserve laws that recognize how abuse begins, not just how it ends. They deserve accountability, protection, and justice.
The bill's authors pointed to multiple instances where teachers or coaches were found guilty of sending inappropriate messages to young students, but convicted of misdemeanors. The bill passed 93-6 with strong bipartisan support. One of Microsoft's top executives says he would support a new state law to regulate data centers across Wisconsin. As Evan Casey reports, his comments come as the company is investing more than $7 billion at a data center campus in Mount Pleasant.
Two state bills, one from Democrats and the other from Republicans, were recently introduced to regulate data centers in Wisconsin. Both seek to protect consumers from rising electricity prices. Brad Smith is Microsoft's president and vice chair. He says he's read both measures, and he believes lawmakers can find common grounds.
Certainly around transparency, around water use, around the protection of consumers from data centers leading to higher electricity prices. These are, I think, areas where people can agree. It will serve the entire state well.
Microsoft scrapped plans for a data center in Caledonia last year after dozens of residents spoke out against that proposal. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Epic Systems has joined a lawsuit accusing a Silicon Valley-based network of companies of fraudulently accessing sensitive patient medical records. Corrine Hess has the details.
Epic joined a lawsuit filed by a group of healthcare companies. They allege the defendants improperly accessed nearly 300,000 patient medical records. They allegedly posed as medical providers to gain access to those records. The suit claims the companies then used that data for non-treatment purposes without patient consent or authorization. Verona-based Epic says they filed the lawsuit to protect patient privacy. Defendant Health Gorilla denied the allegations. Health Gorilla says Epic is attempting to restrict competition. The plaintiffs are asking a court for an injunction that would immediately stop the alleged conduct. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The head of Oneida Nation's group of small businesses has been fired. This after one of its companies signed contracts with Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Tribal officials fired Jeff House after he approved a nearly $3.8 million contract with ICE in December. House served as president and CEO of Oneida ESC Group. He was replaced last week. House apologized earlier this month and said he was taking steps to cancel the contract, along with another $2.6 million deal made with ICE in September. Oneida Nation citizen Rebecca Webster says she was in disbelief.
For anybody affiliated with the Oneida Nation to enter into a contract that would seemingly support what they're doing runs contrary to the things that I believe in.
The Oneida Nation's chairman has said he and the Oneida business community were not aware of the contracts. The committee now expects the business group to review federal contracts to make sure they align with the nation's core values. Coming up, Wisconsin Life explores a play that looks at the witch's house. Stay with us.
Wisconsin Life is finding where you belong.
I was raised in central Wisconsin, growing up along the sides of shaded ginseng crops.
Deer Camp is more than a place. It is a unique state of mind and being.
I love Milwaukee. I'm very appreciative of everything that it has given me.
It draws you closer to each other and closer to the great circle of life.
Wisconsin Life, every Wednesday and Friday on WPR News and at wisconsinlife.org.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about a new play that centers on a late artist from suburban Milwaukee and the drama surrounding her work and home.
On the Lake Michigan shore in picturesque Fox Point stands an eccentric and controversial cottage. Today, the yard is filled with dozens of driftwood sculptures and cement statues decorated with rocks from the beach. It sticks out in this quiet residential neighborhood. The garage is lined with wood carvings of faces and fish.
I love the fish. And these, of course, always remind me of Easter Island.
Yes.
The big heads.
Playwright Marie Kohler of Milwaukee looks through the chain link fence surrounding the home, pointing out her favorite works of art in the yard. All of this work was created by the late artist Mary Knoll. Her home was her canvas, as she filled nearly every inch of the inside and outside with her sculptures and paintings. Her home was known as the Witch's House. During Knoll's life, this property had even more art in it. That drew a lot of attention from fans, gawkers, and some annoyed neighbors who despised the extra traffic. Young vandals would take things and knock statues over.
You can see some of those telltale grinning critters that she made. She called them her critters.
I notice another sculpture, a smiling trio.
I like these three over here, this little family.
I don't want to say they're worm creatures,
yes.
They're buddies.
With their little hands like this?
Yes.
Yeah, I think she called those her spooks. Okay.
Many of the statues are smiling, but can appear eerie to some people. This may be part of the reason it got the nickname the Witch's House. Kohler has another theory.
I think, you know, she was a single woman to start with. She lived by herself very happily. So I think it's the combination of her art in nature that might have instigated that witch thing, plus the fact that she didn't care what anyone thought.
All this controversy is at the center of a new play by Kohler called Maybe We'll Fly.
I have been interested in her forever. She was a character. She became a local celebrity whether she wanted to or not. And I don't think she minded, because the stuff was out there for everyone to see.
Kohler co-wrote Maybe We'll Fly with composer Josh Schmidt of Mequon. They call it a play with music, since a cello accompanies the actors on stage. The duo wanted to explore Knoll's artistic drive.
what I keep coming back to is what I really admire about her is her ability to persist, to keep on doing what she loved doing. She didn't allow people or society to stop her.
For example, when vandals would knock down a statue, Noel would rebuild it.
In my play, I also deal with the question of how to let go as she gets older and feebler and not able to get down the hill to work on the statues. And so that whole question that I think is a universal one for artists and for everyone, really, is how, as your powers begin to fade, what do you grasp and what do you let go of?
Kohler comes from a family that has long supported the arts in Wisconsin. Mary Knoll's home and art environment were left to the Kohler Foundation after she passed away in 2001. Marie Kohler is not involved in the home's preservation or the art acquisition, but as an admirer, she wants to keep Knoll's legacy alive. Kohler's mother instilled a love of theater in her at an early age. She grew up in Kohler, Wisconsin, and often traveled to Milwaukee to see plays with her family. In 1993, she co-founded Renaissance Theater Works, a women-centered company based in Milwaukee. She's written plays for decades. This is actually the second play Kohler has written about Knoll.
When you were there in the theater, there's this world that's created. It's shared by everyone in that theater. And if it's successfully done, you enter that world through those characters, through those words, through that music. And you go inward and you think, am I like that? Was I like that? Could I be better?
Readings of Maybe We'll Fly will be performed in Milwaukee and Sheboygan. Kohler hopes to see a more widespread distribution of the production so more people can enter the world of Mary Knoll. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And of course, we'll end with a quick check of your forecast. It's going to be windy today and much colder than the past few days, with highs only getting into the teens and 20s. Wind gusts near 25 miles per hour at times as well. Still cloudy and cold overnight with lows in the single digits and wind chills below zero across the state tonight. Wind speeds, however, will start to calm down as the night goes on. And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and of course, our producer today was Courtney Everett. As always, have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.